Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
If you'd turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, that's where we'll read our text. Hebrews chapter number 12, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you for another time to come and look to your word for our help. Lord, we just ask you to have your will and way with the remainder of this service today. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a great text here, Hebrews chapter number 12, and some really good thoughts and some really good sermons come from Hebrews chapter number 12, talking about this great cloud of witnesses and then talking about laying aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, or talking about running with patience the race that is set before us, or looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As you begin chapter 12 and you go through each little phrase, you may have heard a sermon on each of those little phrases, and those of you who preach, you may have preached a sermon on several of those little phrases. I'm not going to get to any of those today other than to use this text to give us a very simple sermon to kind of help us keep going forward and doing what we're supposed to be doing as God's people. So very practical sermon today for the believer, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. With the idea in mind, I want to talk to you about remembering, some things we need to remember that we see in this passage here, because tomorrow's Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a time to remember those who have died in protecting our freedoms. And I imagine most of us have plans for the day tomorrow. You may be traveling, or you may be planning a picnic or going to some sort of parade, or maybe you're just going to stay home and relax and enjoy your day off, or you may not even be taking the day off. You may be going to work tomorrow. I don't know what your idea is for a great time at Memorial Day, but as you do that, I want you to remember why we celebrate Memorial Day. You may know the history of Memorial Day, or may not. I want to share that with you before I begin today. Memorial Day began as a decoration day. It was established as a day to decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers from the Civil War. In fact, if you go this morning over to the Veterans Cemetery, there's probably some out there right now that are putting something on every grave out there as a decoration day is still celebrated. They may do that tomorrow. But we call it Memorial Day now. The purpose in its beginning was an annual reminder of the sacrifices made by those who gave their all in service of their nation. Now we celebrate Memorial Day to remember those who have given their lives in service to their nation. More of a remembering day than a decoration day, but we still get a little bit of both. But the key to Memorial Day is remembering. And I think that's a very important word for us as Christians. There are some things that we need to remember. Anybody have trouble remembering things? The more that my cell phone does for me, the less I have to remember, so the less I can remember. People will tell me something and I'll forget it, but people will text me something or put it on my calendar or my email and I'll remember it because it's right in front of my face right there. But I think it is. We're becoming brain dead because of our smartphones, right? I'm going to read you this. This is a cute little thing about remembering. Maybe you heard about a guy named John. Anybody here named John that I'm about to offend? Okay, we got just one John here this morning, not both Johns. This is about the other John, not that John back there. You heard about a guy named John who had a serious memory problem. One day, John ran into a friend he had not seen in a long time. He greeted him and said, "Bill, do you remember what a bad memory I had?" Bill answered, "Yes, I certainly do." "Well, it's not bad anymore. I went to a seminar that taught us how to remember things." That sounds good, right? "It was great, and now I have a wonderful memory." Bill answered, "That's great. Well, what was the name of the seminar?" "Well," John said, "wait a minute. My wife went with me, and I'll ask her." He turned and saw his wife nearby. Then he turned back to Bill and said, "What's the name of that flower with a long stem and thorns and a red bloom?" "Do you mean a rose?" Bill answered. "Yeah, thanks," John said. "Hey, Rose, what's the name of that seminar we attended?" So, all right, good. I thought that was good. I wanted to share it. But remembering is very important. We know that, especially remembering your wife's name, guys. But we all have people that we will remember, especially Memorial Day. But we also remember those, maybe they weren't soldiers, but people who've gone on before us that we remember. We remember people for whatever area of remembrance that it is. We tend to remember those who've had an impact on our lives. Obviously, soldiers who've died have had an impact on our lives because they gave their life for our freedom. We remember Jesus who died. He impacted our lives because in giving His life, you and I live a life free from the penalty of our sins. What a blessing that is. We remember those in our family or our friends who have gone on because they impacted our life in one way or the other. So with that being the case, I want to ask you these questions today to lead into what our sermon is going to be. What kind of impact are you making on those around you? Which leads to the next question, and we all consider this, or I hope you do, at some time in your life, how will you be remembered? Now, Memorial Day is one of those days that it's hard to preach to you without it being sort of a funerally sounding sermon. So I tried to keep away from that today, but that's about as funerally sounding as I'm going to get. Is funerally really a word? I don't think funerally is a word. It's a word today. Is that all right? All right, that's about time for me to pull out my George W. Bush impression, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep from that because it's pretty horrible. How are you going to be remembered? Christians should leave a legacy behind of the difference we made. And our text today encourages us to do just that. So I'm going to give you three things really quick to help you remember what will help you make a difference in life or to impact those around you. Let's begin with verse number 1, if you're still open to Hebrews chapter 12 here. Wherefore? Now, wherefore is kind of like therefore in Scripture. Remember when we read therefore, what are we supposed to ask? What's it there for? And usually when you come across therefore in Scripture, you back up into that chapter right before and you can figure out what the therefore is therefore. Wherefore works exactly the same. In fact, you and I in modern English, we wouldn't say wherefore much anymore. We would say what? Therefore, or whatever the new word for that is. So that's exactly what we're getting here. If you know Hebrews, you know chapter 11 begins how? Now faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If anybody ever asks you to define faith, that's a good definition. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Circle that in your Bible if you don't want to forget that. Faith is the substance. That sounds funny. Faith is substance. That doesn't sound right, does it? But it's the substance of things hoped for. Now, I've told you time and again, I'll tell you again today, as Christians, our hope is different than everybody else's. Why is that? Because our hope does have some substance. Our hope is not like me saying, I hope I win the Powerball. I don't play the Powerball, but I hope some of you do, all right? That'd be great, as long as you're a tither. Now, if you don't believe in tithing, then I don't believe in you playing the Powerball, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But that is hope, but that's not the hope that a believer has. That's a hope that is a chance, that there's a likelihood that you're not going to win. The odds are more in favor of you not getting something with that kind of hope. Hope for the believer is just the opposite. For hope, there are no odds. For hope, for you and I, it's a promise. It's in God's Word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you can very easily tell me about the evidence of things not seen. Every man in here should be able to talk about how much he loves his wife. It's not seen, but he should tell us about it. Right, guys? I didn't think I'd get any amens there. Your love better be seen. We can look around. The air you're breathing here today is really the illustration there. It's not seen, but we know that it's there, and we're glad that it's there, right? Faith, that's what faith is. So if we look at this as verse 1 begins here this morning, we say, wherefore? Well, why is wherefore therefore? What's it there for? It's to go back to faith. And we begin, as we read here, we're talking about this great cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What we're told to do here in verse number 1 is to keep moving forward, to run this race that is set before us. And our motivation for that, we're given some motivation to do that in this verse, and we're also given some things to clean out of our lives to allow us to do that. And our motivation comes from this wherefore, which takes us back to chapter number 11. And other than faith, what else do you know that's in chapter number 11? It's examples of faith. 38 verses or so of people's names who are examples from the Bible of people who are people of great faith. People that the Bible says they didn't even receive the promise, but they still lived all of their life
in faith. You and I have already received the promise. It's already there for us, and all we have to do is die, and as believers, we're in heaven. What a wonderful thing. To move forward is our first point here today. Remember to move forward. Looking back as our motivation is chapter 11. Let's look through chapter 11 just a bit here as we decide what our motivation should be to help us move forward. And our motivation is this great cloud of witnesses. Now I'm going to move quickly through verse chapter 11. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to read the first few verses of each verse. So try to follow along with me in your Bible if you can. In fact, if you write in your Bible, I can show you in mine how it is. It's neat to have in chapter 11 the first three or four words of each verse underlined because it says things like, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith such and such. That's great to have as a quick reference to you when you're having a bad day, when you're having a bad week, when you decide you want to quit, when you want to just quit church or quit God or quit Jesus or quit the Bible or quit praying or all those. You can go to these people and you can read those by faith and fill in the blank there and think about their life and what they had to go through and how they decided to keep motivated to move forward. The first thing that I ask us to remember here this morning is to remember to move forward. Let's begin. Look at verse number 3 here. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. Verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, his only son. Verse number 20, like father, like son. We've been studying that a little bit in 1 Kings on Wednesday nights. After Abraham showed his faith, verse number 20, by faith Isaac continued in the same faith of his father. That's important for us to remember his parents. Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse number 21, that continues, by faith Jacob. Verse number 22, it continues yet another generation, by faith Joseph. If you're here as you're a parent and you brought your child to church with you today, I commend you for that. You're putting something in them that'll never go away. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished. Verse 32 is one of my favorites. And what shall I say more? The writer of Hebrews, as he writes of all these great people and their great faith, and how that he continues that in verse 12 and says, seeing we're compassed, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's our motivation to keep moving forward. As he ends up talking about this motivation in verse 32, he says, what else can I say to you? How else can I keep you encouraged in your walk to do what you're supposed to do? And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of. And then he goes through another list of those that he can't even get into the details of their life. But if you know anything about these names that we're about to read, they're wonderful people. What would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and Samuel and the prophets? And then he kind of condenses down their lives here for us, beginning in verse number 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lying, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. I sound like a network TV show that I'm trying to get you to watch here, don't I? These amazing things that these people done. If you'll watch tomorrow night at 10, you can see the first episode. We don't have to. We've got it right here in our Bible. You can go read about Daniel in the lion's den and David and Goliath and how with this little kid with just a rock killed a great big giant. Now, you're all looking at me this morning like you don't believe these things happened, but they really did. Amen. You have a recorded history of these things. Right. Praise the Lord for them. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I don't know who wrote Hebrews, but whoever he was worth enough for God to take his writings and put it into the canon of our Holy Scriptures here. And he himself, in his own opinion, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote, the world was not worthy of these people. It's great people. I'm proud to be affiliated with them. We're blood kin. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain by the sword. But I'm going to quit coming to church because the preacher didn't shake my hand this morning. He hurt my feelings. I'm just kidding. You know, I make it a point, even if I have to interrupt Brother Tom when he tries to start the service, I try to get to everybody's hand. And I remember those I didn't get to. I didn't get to Brother Miller this morning. I'll get him on the way out. And the guys in the sound booth and Brother Nathan back there. See, I've got a memory right here of who I didn't shake hands with. Because I don't ever want you to quit God and go up to heaven someday and say, well, is that preacher's fault? Now, I'm joking, tongue in cheek here. I realize that nobody's going to quit church, or I hope you're not. But I say that to help us realize how silly it is for us to not stay motivated. Motivated in prayer. Motivated in our service to God. Motivated in our Bible reading. Motivated in what it is that God has called us and purpose for us to do in our lives. Seeing then that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Keep moving forward. How can you not? And look at the people before you who have carried the word. Look at those before you who have carried on the plan of salvation. How can we stop? The reason we stop, what is led to here and at the end of verse number 1. Chapter 12, verse number 1. Before the comma is our motivation. After the comma is our problem. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. How many of you, be honest this morning, would agree with me or raise your hand with me and say, I have a sin that does so easily beset me? Anybody else want to admit to that? All right, some of you. The rest of you, your sin is lying, right? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, it's just us here this morning. Everybody else has gone to the lake. I'm just trying to be real, get you excited here this morning. I know you're thinking about hamburgers and watermelons. I'm sorry, we had our watermelon last night because we're going to drive all day today when we get done here. So we ate our watermelon last night. It was really good. But we all have that sin that does so easily beset us. And a lot of times that's what keeps us from being motivated to move forward, to do what God is having us do. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, being encouraged here to move forward by putting off weight, we think of running a race. Anybody ever run a race? Some of you did last weekend, didn't you? Running a race is hard, isn't it? Anybody admit that? Can I get an amen from anyone that running a race is hard? Or are you all so prideful? He said, no, I finished it and you stayed home. I did. I bailed out of the race last weekend. Running a race is hard. But can you imagine running a race with weights on? That's about impossible. Can I pick on you, Brother Ken? Is that all right? You won't quit church over it? Okay, thanks, Brother Ken. Brother Ken ran a race with a jump rope. Was that hard? I mean, that wasn't even weights, but I mean, it was something other than that. I can't have anything. I dress as skimpy as possible. How do you like that? Now, skimpy for me is different than skimpy for most everybody else. I wear my shorts and my T-shirt, and I wear short socks and my tennis shoes. And the only weight that I've got on is my headphones and maybe whatever's playing through my headphones to keep me motivated, you know. If everybody thinks I'm listening to music, it's not. I've recorded a voice that says, step one, step two, step three. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. No, not really. But can you imagine running with some weights, I mean a backpack on full of bricks? Or some weights tied around your ankles and trying to run a race like that? Now, when I played football in high school, they would make us do that. We had these things, they were called sleds. And you had this harness you'd put around your shoulders. Anybody have to pull sleds? Anybody used to have? Okay, some of us have pulled sleds. And there was this thing, it was a sled. It was two metal feet, kind of like a pontoon boat, you know, that kind of idea, but it's a lot smaller. And it had the bar on the middle that would hold the weights. And we'd go in the weight room and we'd get two 45-pound, those big round, the biggest round plates, and you'd lay those on there. What's that? 90 pounds. This doesn't sound like much, does it? And then they'd get us out on the football field with these sleds, and we'd strap ourselves to that and pull it behind us, and you'd have to run to the other end of the football field. That was the worst thing. 98 degrees underneath Georgia pine trees. So you know, we think about Georgia pine trees. Don't give the best shade in the world. And they get sappy in the summertime. It's awful. And the only water they'd give us was lukewarm. These kids now, they say, oh, well, they got concussions, and it's too hot, and they can't practice and all that. I'm thinking, man, where were these people when I was playing football? Our coaches were kicking us when we were too tired and too hot. They say, oh, you don't have a concussion, boy. You're just a sissy. That's what they tell us. What do you mean you blacked out? Get up. That's how it was. And we'd have to pull these sleds. Oh, I hated that. It was the worst thing. And they'd make us run up the hill and touch a telephone pole, run back down. Who else's football field had a hill you had to run up? What is it with these people building football fields with a hill next to them? The coaches did that on purpose to us. But you know, it was amazing. What was amazing about pulling those sleds, as hard as that was and awful as it was, those of you who've done this know what I'm talking about. When you took that off, you felt like a bunny rabbit. I mean, you could just, boom, you could just go. Even as tired as you were, you took the weight off, and you could go, and it was exciting. It's exactly the idea that we get here as we talk about remembering to move forward. If just the motivation of those that we're compassed about, those in heaven who are looking down on us, if that's not enough, if you can think about unweighting yourself, removing the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. What is it that weighs you down in life and keeps you from serving God in a way that will impact your world? Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." So what is sin? What is that thing that I need to unweight, take out of my life that's weighting me down as I run the race? Anything that wars against your soul. Anything that keeps you up at night. Anything that takes over your state of being. Anything that controls your desire to keep you from desiring the things of God. That's probably something you should unweight from yourself. You ever had to wait a day on something you really wanted? Like, you're going to get a new car. Or as a 16-year-old, you're going to get your first car. Or you're going to, you know, new job started tomorrow. That first day of school was the next day, or whatever it was. You can't sleep that night, can you? You're so excited, it's hard to get it off your mind. It disrupts your inner peace, so to speak. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that's sin. That's just how we are. We're just wired that way. But if there are things in your life that are constantly causing you to be that way, well, you can't function with what we would consider normal as a Christian walk. I shouldn't say Christian walk, because that's not how it's written here in Hebrews, is it? Is it a Christian walk? It's a Christian what? Run. Part of the time we can't stay motivated is we have a walk mentality. Our life is short. Our time on earth is limited. And the job that we have before us is great. Right? There's your Sunday morning song reference. Some of you only remember my sermons through these. You know Smokey and the Bandit? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. We're going to do what they say can't be done. That describes Christians, though, doesn't it? We've got a lot to do. We've got a short amount of time to do it. And what is everybody around us saying? It'll never work. They'll never do it. I don't even believe they're saved. That's just some religious kick they're on. We've all heard that. Keep moving forward. Keep yourself motivated. You do that by remembering those before us. You do that by removing these things that would weigh us down. Get rid of the things in your life that would weigh you down. Avoid the things that would entangle you. Only then can you run the race as intended. Ever run through the woods as a child and saw briars get you? Now these are different than regular briars. Y'all know what saw briars are? Saw briars are not so bad when they first get you. They're worse when you try to get away from them. And they call them saw briars for that very reason, because they pretty much saw you in half trying to wiggle away from saw briars. They entangle you. Quicksand mentality here. The worse you struggle, the harder it is to get rid of it. In our Christian life, there are things that will entangle us. Avoid those things in your everyday life. You know they're there, but you do it anyways. You see it coming because you've had to deal with it the day before, because it's that sin that does so easily beset you. Well, then why go there? Why do that? Why look at it? Why listen to it? Why be a part of it? Did y'all hear about those preachers that all met together and they were going to confess their sins to one another? They all sat down at lunch and they'd meet once a week and they were helping one another, right? They'd talk about, you know, whatever was going on in their lives. And one day they said, we just need to be each other's accountability partners. And let's all tell each other what is our main sin. And then we'll know and we can pray for each other and help each other with it. So the first guy went and he told what his sin was. And boy, it shocked them all that he, as a preacher in their community, would be into this horrible sin. And the next guy told his sin and the next guy told his sin. And while that was all going, that fourth guy was getting up and putting his coat on and getting his hat and he was getting ready to leave. And they said, "Hey, young man, hold everything. Where do you think you're going?" He said, "We've all told our sins and you got to tell yours." He said, "Oh, I will." And on his way out the door, he said, "Mine's gossiping and I can't wait to go tell everybody about y'all." You know what it is that entangles you. You know what it is that weighs you down. Avoid that thing. If we could ever get to where we're not being weighted down and entangled, we might be able to use the motivation of, hey, if Moses can part the waters and walk them across on dry land, then I can lead this person to Jesus. If Daniel can hush the mouths of hungry lions and make it through the night and get out of the pit, then I can do this thing that I've got to do that God's called me to. I don't know what it is that God has purposed for you in your life. But I promise you the thing that's keeping you from doing it is that weight, that entanglement. The last thing that we get here from this is to run with patience. The idea is being consistent, being courageous, being capable. We should actively be living in a way that would make a difference in the lives of those around us. Sometimes that means simply being determined not to quit. You ever just been determined you weren't going to quit something? I'm not going to quit. And usually for me it's something silly and it's something that I end up quitting anyways. But I remember that feeling when I was right in the middle of it. I'm just not going to quit. Remember to move forward. Do that by remembering the cloud of witnesses, remembering to put off the weight, remembering to avoid being tangled, remembering to run with patience, to show endurance. Moving forward will constantly result in a life that is remembered. The second thing we get today is in verse number 2. Remembering to maintain our focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Maintain your focus. Looking unto Jesus, we can maintain our focus. It's when we get to looking at anything else that you tend to lose that focus. Many times we lose our focus by placing on the wrong things. We get focused on our possessions. We get focused on our problems. We get focused on our public appearance. People think of us. I think the number one thing that I encounter as a pastor dealing with people is problems. In fact, I think if none of us had problems, our churches would be empty. That may hurt your feelings to hear me say that, but you know when you're the most apt to never miss church? And you got a big problem. And you come, and hopefully we help you with that. And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with your problems. I'm glad to pray with you on them. I'm glad to share with you God's word on them. That's what I do. I'm called a minister. That's what a minister does. But somewhere in life, we've got to learn to keep our focus in spite of our problems, in spite of our possessions. You know how to be thankful for what you've got instead of being greedy for what you want to get? You start cleaning up and getting what you've got ready to sell. You'll fall back in love with it again. With houses, I learned that. Get an old house and live in it for long enough, you get so sick of every little thing that's wrong with it. But then when you start trying to think of all the good reasons somebody else ought to buy it, and you get the yard cleaned up, and you straighten up all the furniture, and maybe put a little paint here and there, and clean the windows, and do all the things that you're supposed to do while you're living in it anyways. Remember I told you last week I neglect gutters, right? And it's the same way with an old car. You hate that car until you get ready to start selling it, and while you're trying to talk the guy into it that's going to buy it from you, you think, man, if I want to sell him this car or not. It's a pretty nice car now that I think of it. We're not careful. Our focus gets on possessions, things we've just got to have. Our problems, things that we just can't get through. Our public appearance, things that, well, I just can't believe they said that about me. I can't believe they think this way about me. Or I've got to go here and do this and do that to keep up those appearances. That's not what our focus should be on. Our focus should be on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. With our focus in these wrong areas, we're going to get ourselves off track. When you focus on Jesus, everything else falls into place. Just as we remember the sacrifices of those who have served our nation, we should remember the sacrifices of Jesus. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know this song? Look full in his wonderful face. What does it say after that? The things of earth will grow strangely dim. Your problems will get dim. Your possessions will get dim. Your public appearance will get dim in the light of his glory and grace. Looking unto Jesus is how you maintain focus. When you're focused on Jesus, your possessions aren't important. When you're focused on Jesus, your problems aren't really that big. When you're focused on Jesus, your public appearance no longer matters. I'm asking you today to remember, as a Christian who's going to leave this church and go live this week as a Christian in this community, remember to move forward. Remember to maintain your focus. And then the last thing, remember to master faithfulness. Look at verse 3 and 4 with me. This is the most important point of the other two. You're going to lose focus from time to time. Work that you don't, but you're going to lose focus. You're going to lose your motivation. You don't want to move forward sometimes. You're going to get weighted down, or you're going to get entangled. With all that being the case, the one thing that you can't stop doing is being faithful. Look at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Master faithfulness, lest you get weary. Times are going to come when you're going to become weary. You'll get faint in your mind. Stay faithful. What's the best question to ask after someone tells you to stay faithful? Well, how? Well, I'd love to stay faithful if you'd just show me how and teach me how. The Bible tells us very clearly right here, consider him. Capital H, Jesus, consider him. Verse 4 says, you have not yet. And we haven't. I know we've got problems. I know we've got struggles. I know we've got things that we've got to go through. But if we consider Jesus, we have not yet. There's nothing that you've gone through yet bad, worse than what Jesus had to face. He was in all points tempted like as we are. You have not yet in verse number 4. And then if you back up to verse number 3, it says, he endured. He stayed faithful. That's how you stay faithful, is to consider Jesus. The only way we'll ever stay faithful is in Christ. But if you truly want to live a life that is remembered, you must stay faithful. We all want to be remembered, right? I mean, you may not want to be popular. You may not want to be famous. But you want to be remembered by somebody. You want somebody to cry at your funeral. You want something nice to be put on your headstone. I mean, that's just who we are. That's our tendency in our culture. And that's okay. I'm not telling you that's wrong this morning. We all want to be remembered. But the problem that's become in our culture is that for somewhere along the line, people got this idea that you have to become rich or famous to really impact the world. But if you think of those who had the greatest impact on the world, they weren't always rich or famous. They may have been famous, not rich, or they may have been rich and not famous, or they may have been neither of the two. Jesus wasn't rich or famous. He became famous, but he really wasn't. These people we read about here in chapter 11, some were rich, some were not. None of them were really famous. If they were famous, it was almost in a negative light. It's not the case. These people were listed here in chapter 11 for one reason. It's because they were faithful. That's what faith is all about. Faith is walking in an area that you have trouble seeing. You don't have any evidence. You don't have any proof, but you believe. You've all heard of Fanny Crosby, right? Great hymn writer. Well, if you look through the book, and a large percentage of those songs in your book were written by Fanny J. Crosby. Her tombstone is engraved this way. It says, she hath done what she could. That's all God wants of you. God doesn't want you to be famous. God doesn't want you to reinvent the wheel. God doesn't want you to do something marvelously spectacular. Jesus has already done that, hasn't he? The church doesn't need you as its next Savior. We have a Savior. God just wants you to do what you could. Do what you can and be faithful in it. You've all heard of Old Faithful at Yellowstone, right? Has everybody heard of Old Faithful? Now, I've never been out there, but I hear and I read that Old Faithful is not the largest geyser at Yellowstone National Park. I also read that it is the one that reached the largest height. There's a lot of other geysers that shoot up a lot higher than Old Faithful. But you know what? We've never heard of those. I don't even know if they have their own names. Old Faithful is the most popular. You know why? Because it's faithful. They know when it's going to explode. They know when people can gather around because it's faithful. Remember those who fought and died for our freedom. Remember Jesus who died for our sins. Remember those who have impacted your life. Remember how to leave an impact and make a difference in this world. Do that by moving forward. Don't sit still this week. Don't get entangled this week. Don't get weighted down this week. You battled sin all last week and you prayed for forgiveness. Don't let it weigh you down this week. And determine that just tomorrow, hey, just the rest of today, I'm going to avoid that temptation and not be weighted down by that sin that does so easily beset me. And then do that again the next day and the next day and the next day and come to church next Sunday with your shouting shoes on and say, I made it. I got through a week. It's a small victory, but I won that week's battle. And I'm going to do it again next week. And then the next week. And you do it one day at a time. If you're as bad as me, you have to do it 1 minute at a time. You say, all right, I made it through this minute. Now let's get the next one in. But eventually it will no longer be that thing that entangles you. It'll be that thing that used to entangle you. And that's a good way to be. I used to think I was going to outgrow my sins. I said, well, when I get married and get a family, things will be different. When I get as old as my dad, things will be different. An old preacher man sat me down one time and he said, let me give you some advice. Me and three other guys, we're three young preachers. And he said, let me give you guys some advice. It doesn't change. He said, the same struggles I had when I was your age, I have now at my age. He was 80 years old, I guess. Well, I left his office so discouraged. I said, man, I was hoping I'd outgrow this sin. No, it's a struggle all of your life. Especially as a Christian. It's a daily fight. Decide this week I'm going to move forward. Decide this week I'm going to maintain focus. May have to put blinders on to help me do it, but I'm going to maintain my focus this week. And decide this week if I fail in moving forward, if I fail in my focus, nothing else, I'm going to master faithfulness. I'm going to be faithful to repent of my sin and try again. I'm going to be faithful to read the Word. I'm going to be faithful in prayer. I'm going to be faithful worship. I'm going to be faithful in my evangelistic efforts. I'm going to be faithful this week. Nothing else, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be available. I'm going to be ready. That's what I want you to remember today. Let's all stand. Bow our heads, close our eyes, no one looking around. Ms. Wiggins is going to play a verse of a song, and how I'd like to close the service today is if you're here today and you've never been saved, you never accepted Jesus as your Savior, preached last week about neglecting salvation. I think maybe some of you might have wanted to pray for salvation. If you're here today and you'd like to pray for salvation, as Ms. Wiggins plays a verse, if you'd come forward, I'd pray with you right now on this altar, and you could become a Christian. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you're saved, would you pray right now and ask God to help you this week to remember these things, to do better this week than you did last week, to rely upon Him more than you did last week. As she plays, no one's looking around. If you need to come forward, right now is your time to come and accept Jesus as your Savior. It'll change your life forever.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.